Yaakov. Tego machina Ephraim for Parshas Vayetze. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava Vayela Charana. Yaakov left Be'er Shava and he went to Charan. Vayevgav Makom. He encountered the place and he slept there and he took from the stones of the place. Vayikach Me'avni Makom. He goes to sleep. He has a dream. And in his dream, he sees a sulam mutzav arza v'rosho magiha hashamayma, a ladder that is standing on the ground and reaching for the heavens. Beautiful. V'hinei malachei elokim olim v'yardim bo. Angelic beings are ascending and descending upon it, or according to some, upon him. That the angels rise and fall according to us. But this whole idea of Yaakov Avinu, I mean, he's going into Galus. This, in many ways, is the root of Galus. If we come from Yaakov, we're Bnei Yisrael. So Yaakov's about to go into Galus. He's going into Galus. He's going to Beis Lavan. He's going to a place that's very distant, both geographically, but more importantly, hashkafically, from the way he was raised. And he has a dream about what? About a ladder. And he sees in his dream angels going up and down a ladder. Says the Degamachan Ephraim, Yishbekan sod godless v'katnus. This is the secret of godless and katnus, of ups and downs, of moments where a person has godless hamochen, as the Sfarim call it, an elevated consciousness, and moments where a person has small-mindedness and pettiness. Right? Days when I feel like, so excited to learn Torah, I'm so excited to daven, I'm so excited to be a Jew. And days when you wake up, you say, I wish I could just stay in bed. I'm not in the mood to get out of bed. I'm not in the mood to put away tefillin. I'm not in the mood to be bothered by, you know, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's Piskei Halacha, and Avodah Zarah, Dav Zayin, Avodah Aleph. I'm not in the mood for any of it. So Yaakov Avinu sees a ladder. And even the angels in his dream have ups and downs. Ki yadua b'shem Adoni Avshmas Eden. As my whole a pasuk that so many Sifrei Chassidus emphasize, pasuk at the beginning of Yecheskel, Ki achayos ratzo v'shov. The chayos, which is a certain type of angelic being, ratzo v'shov. Coming and going, back and forth, ups and downs. A step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back. V'i'ef sh'lamud amadrega achas tamid. And it's foolish to be frustrated by the aspiration to always have, you know, a certain madrega. That's not how it works. Everyone has moments where they're feeling connected, moments where they're feeling disconnected. That's how it works. Rak ola v'yored. There's ups and there's downs. V'hayiridahu litzarach aliyah. But if you'll ask yourself, but why is that? Why can't I at least maintain my status quo and always be moving up or at least maintaining my level? Why is it that Hashem makes it that we have yiridus? Why did Hashem program that into life as we know it? And the answer is very simply, it's a halachic concept, but it's also a idea in machshava, which is a yirida litzorech aliyah. Sometimes you go down to go up. It's as simple as bending your knees to jump. You lower your body to be able to lift your body higher. That's what jumping is. So spiritually, sometimes you have to go down in order to reach new heights. That's just how it works. You have to take one foot off the ladder, making yourself vulnerable to falling. In order to what? In order to ascend the ladder, to take a step up. When a person recognizes, I'm going through a period of katnus, and I dive into Hashem from wherever I am, as opposed to just being frustrated and kind of waiting it out for it to pass on its own, talk to Hashem about your problems. Say, Hashem, I don't like feeling uninspired. Instead of just accept, I'm uninspired. So turn your lack of inspiration into a tefillah. It can be a very powerful tefillah. Complain to Hashem. Tell Hashem, I need your help. Al derech ubikashtam yishamas Hashem alokecha umatzasa. Like the pasuk beautifully says at the beginning of Eschanan, ubikashtam yisham as Hashem alokecha. Search out Hashem where? Where should you find God? What does the pasuk say? At the kotel. In the Kodesh Kedashim? In the Beis Medrash? Where do you find Hashem? In Chevron, by the Kivrei Avos? Where's God found? V'kashta Misham. Search for Him, Misham, from there, wherever you are. Like some of us learned the other week, about Chanukah, Chanukah. Chanukah, to have a sense of Yishuv Hadas, Ko. Ko means wherever you are. So Vikashtim Misham, Hashem Elokecha. Search for Hashem where? From there, from that place of frustration. Umatzasa. And guess what? Hashem will call you back. You'll get a response. Vizel Misham Mimakum Shuhu Sham. Misham means from wherever you are. Kavosh Amar Adoni Avi Zakeni Nishma Soeda. Sechazadik Levacha, like the Baal Shem Tov explained. Vikashtim Misham. Don't wait for that right moment. So then, today's a good day, so today I'm going to have a great day. But my bad days, I'll just let the bad days be bad days. Why? When you're frustrated, make an avod out of the frustration. Make a good tefillah out of the frustration. So that's what it means. Vayetze Yaakov mibe'er shava. Yaakov was forced to what? To depart from be'er shava. What does that mean, be'er shava? Haynu kishat tzadik nofel mimadrigaso. Vayotze min hanaviyu v'hashchina hanikro bas sheva ki yadua. Kabbalistically, sometimes the Shekhinah is called Bas Sheva. The Shekhinah is connected to the Sphira, maybe of Malchus. And again, of the 10 Sphiros, divided into the 3 intellectual attributes of God, Chachma, Bina, Das, and the 7 lower Sphiros. So the 7th of the lower 7 of the emotional attributes of Hashem Kiviyachol is Malchus. And Malchus is associated with the Shekhinah. It's Hashem's presence as manifested in this world. Through us. So Vayetze Yaakov mibe'er shava. Yaakov left, so to speak, that 7th level. In other words, Yaakov was no longer feeling as connected to the Shekhinah as he was. He's being chased out of his parents' home because his murderous brother in Pshat is trying to kill him. So he feels a little bit abandoned. He followed his mother's advice. Someone asked me at Shal Shudas this past week. Like, no one tells Yaakov that he did the right thing. Like, he listens to his mother's advice, and it kind of backfires a little bit. I mean, he got the bracha, but then it kind of backfires. And then she's like, okay, run for your life. You know? It's like Lahavdil in The Lion King. You know what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? Like, this is your fault. Go, run away. Like, what? You told me to do this. It's a little different because, you know, he wasn't... A lot different. But you hear what I'm saying? Like, Rivka just said, okay, run, get out of here. Like, whoa, cover for me. I followed you, this was your plan. She's like, no, run for your life. Your brother wants to kill you. Okay? So Yaakov goes from this awesome moment of closeness to Hashem. He's mamish living in Gan Eden, as his father smells the scent of Gan Eden on him. And next thing you know, he's being exiled, you know, to Midtown Manhattan. He's working for Lavan. Who's Lavan Ha'arami? He's a Rama, he's a trickster, he's a deceiver, he's the antithesis of Titan Emes Le'Yakov. He's mamish the opposite of Yaakov Avinu. Vayelech Charana, says the Gemach and Ephraim, he goes to Charan. Charan is a lashon of Charon Af, divine wrath. He goes from feeling super close to Hashem to feeling really hurt. Hainu Shenofa Lakatnus. He's about to what? He's leaving the Beis Medrash. Years and years and years of learning Torah. I mean, he's going to stop off in the Beis Medrash on his way to Lavan's house to learn a little bit more. Right? But eventually he makes it to Lavan's house, and you have this nice Tmimus de Kolol guy who's now working for some money launderer, you know? Vayela Charana. It's the worst. Ukeshemargish bazeh vayifka b'makom. But on his way to Beis Lavan, instead of Yaakov Avinu, what? Doing nothing, he encounters the place. What does that mean? Hainu shu mispala al zel lahamakom baruch. Makom, of course, is Hashem. Vayifka, he entreats, he encounters. He petitions Hashem. Hashem, I'm about to go into a very different environment. It's a yurida in many sense, in many senses of the word. And I'm scared. But he turned it into a tefillah. Vayikach me'avne hamakom. He took the stones of that place that he found himself. One of the promises of the end of days is that Hashem is going to take our heart of stone and turn it back into a heart of flesh. So he took the stones of the place. He doesn't really emphasize the word stones, but maybe we can say that he's emphasizing the fact that he felt, you know, his heart had hardened. He wasn't feeling emotionally connected to Hashem, but he took those stones that Hashem was, so to speak, throwing at him. And he davened over it. Uvekashtim Ishamas Hashem Elokecha, like my holy grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov, explained. He davened from there, from that place, wherever he was. He turned it into a tefillah. And you know what happened? Hashem says, guess what? Don't be frustrated. This is how it is. What does he see in his dream? A sulam, a ladder. What is happening on this ladder? It's mutav artza, v'roshu megia shamayma. That sometimes what? You have to go down to the ground in order to reach for the heavens. Hainusha yirida shi mutav artza, hu asulam lalos acher kach madrega yoser gedola. It's that ladder that's what? That first emphasizes aretz before it emphasizes shamayim. Sometimes a person has to have an encounter with the ground in order to then be able to reach new heights. Ki adua zeh sheyirida letzarech aliyah. And that's what it means. Rosho magia hashamayma sheyagia lamadrega yoser gedola. That after going through this struggle, you'll be able to reach new heights. So a person has to know how to have a yirida in a productive way. Okay, there's a couple more paragraphs of the piece, but I'm going to jump ahead now to the next piece, which is Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso. It's probably about a page or so from there. Yeah? Okay. What happens when Yaakov wakes up? Okay, another piece. Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso. Yaakov wakes up from his sleep. Vayomer Achein Yesh Hashem Amakom Hazeh Va'Anochi Lo Yadati. Wow, I had this very lofty and spiritual dream. Hashem is found in this place and I didn't know. Rashi says, had I known, I wouldn't have slept here. What exactly was this sleep? What was this revelation that he had in his dream, in his sleep? Yesh lomar diadua shahagolos mechuna b'shem shena. Golos is called sleep. Golos is associated with sleep. V'haynu istalkus v'astaras panim shal Hashem chas v'shalom. A person's eyes could be open, but a person could be fast asleep. Person could also look like they're sleeping. Ani yashena v'libi er, and the heart is wide awake. So sleep is galus. Sleep is hester panim, when Hashem conceals his face from us, God forbid. But we have to remember, how does the Torah describe the concealment of Hashem's presence from us? Pasuk says in Devarim, v'anochi haster astir panai. Interesting. So interesting that the word that describes the scariest pasuk in Chumash, Hashem hiding his face from us, as Rashi in the Navi Yeshaya says, the scariest pasuk, the scariest nevuah, the scariest prediction of Chumash is this pasuk. Interesting that it starts with what word? Anochi. That's the very word that God introduced himself to us at Har Sinai. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So what does it mean by Anochi Hastir Astir Panai? Is that Anochi part of what's so scary, that the Anochi is going to be lost? That Anochi is going to be hidden? Or maybe even in the time where Hashem is hidden, if you listen carefully, and you keep your eyes open, you can find the Anochi. Hagu'ulahu kisha Hashem megala atzma al yidei or ator. Galus is falling asleep. Gu'ula is the light of Torah shining upon a person. Torah is compared to or, kiner mitzvah v'torah or. It's much harder to sleep when the lights are on. So the more Torah and mitzvahs I have in my life, the more I'm basking in the light, the easier it is to stay awake. Al derech hisori, hisori kiva orech. Awaken, awaken. Arouse yourself. Kiva orech, because the light is shining upon you. How can you sleep through the light, with the light on? So when Hashem gives a person Torah and mitzvos, it wakes you up from galus. When a person studies Torah, even if they're, if Klal Yisrael collectively is in galus, you're in a moment of ge'ula. A moment of Torah is a moment of ge'ula. Sleep is the 60th of death. Torah is kihem chayenu varachemenu. It's life versus death. It's light versus dark. It's sleep versus awake. So therefore, haynu shi'as orah min hasheina, Torah wakes you up. Kiva or ha-Torah v'izgalus Hashem yisbarach v'yachol. Because through the Torah, a person has an encounter with Hashem. And how could you sleep when you're having a face-to-face encounter with Hashem? So that's what it means when it says, va'anochi haster astir panai. Haynu sha'astir ha-Torah va'or shalah shu'kol ba'anochi. The threat, the fear is, and he keeps coming back to this idea, Anochi is the word that encompasses Kol HaTorah Kula, since it's the first word Hashem said in Har Sinai. And maybe we'll have a Chanukah Shir on that topic. But he's mentioned it several times, and he mentions it throughout these parshios. Anochi is a code word for Kol HaTorah Kula. So Va'anochi, that when the Torah is hidden from you, Hashem is hidden from you. U'mameila ya'astir panai chas v'shalom. When there's no light of Torah shining upon you, see, this is why it's so important to learn. People sometimes want to have a relationship with Hashem, but they don't learn Torah. It can't be. Torah is Hashem in written form. Kiviyachol. The Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Dalet, I wanted to give myself to you in written form. That's the Torah, Anochi. So you can't say, well, I'm into God, but I'm not into learning. Can't be. It's like I'm into the girl I'm dating, but I just like don't want to learn anything about her. Well, then what? How can I have a relationship with someone like that? I don't know how you think, I don't know how you feel, I don't want to know anything about you. I just want to feel close to you. What are you talking about? You can't say, Hashem, I want to be close to you, but I don't want to know how you think, I don't want to know how you feel. That's what Torah is. So Mamela, when a person turns out the lights of Torah, he falls asleep. And when he's asleep, he's experiencing Hester Panim. He's not having that face-to-face encounter with Hashem. Ki hu esgalis panav kivyachala yedei or haTorah shemeir lemishtadlim ba. Because the light of Torah shines upon those who are osek in Torah. And that's what it means, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hainu, Anochi. To whatever degree Anochi. Again, if Anochi is a code word for Kol HaTorah Kula, to whatever degree your shaychus is to Anochi, Hashem Elokecha. Hashem is your God. You have a lot of Torah in your life, you'll have a lot of Hashem in your life. But a person who says, I want a lot of Hashem, but I don't want a lot of Torah. It can't go like that. Anochi shehu klalus kol haTorah, hu Hashem havaya baruch hu. That is Hashem in my life. Shehu esgalus Hashem al yidei esgalus or haTorah. Ki kol haTorah shemosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we know, from the Zohar and the Ramban and his introduction to Chumash, brings this idea, that the Torah from beginning to end is the name of Hashem. The name of Hashem is the Torah. And we've said many times, the name of something is the essence. The Chiddush, Adam was able to name things, means he was able to identify their essence. So in many ways, we want to have an encounter with Atzmius Elokus, we want to encounter the Etzem, the essence of Hashem. How do we do that? It's only one way. It's through Torah. Even mitzvos are levushim, are garments. Torah is making direct contact with Hashem. Zeh Hashem Rami is a pasuk, so now we understand the pasuk. Yaakov woke up from his sleep. Vayikat Yaakov mishnaso. Yaakov wakes up. Hainu min hagolus hanim shol l'sheina. Yaakov, so to speak, represents Klal Yisrael. Right? Collectively, again, and individually. So Yaakov wakes up from his sleep. He wakes up from Golus. Hayinu kecholmim. Like we say, all of Golus is one big strange dream. V'nisgala Hashem Havaya Baruch Hu. Yaakov Avinu says, he wakes up, and what does he say? V'yomer achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, v'anochi lo yadati. What is he saying? Anochi hainu or haTorah klula b'anochi. The light of Torah that is represented by the word anochi, lo yadati. I didn't realize, she'uchal liyachid, I didn't realize the degree of connection I could have with Hashem through Torah. Because the Hester Panim blocked out Hashem. But Yaakov woke up. Some even say when the Pasuk says Yaakov woke up, Mishnaso, which means his sleep, also Lashon of Mishnah. Torah wakes a person up. And then he says, wow, Anochi Liyadati. I didn't realize that Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. I didn't realize to the same degree that I study Avodah Zarah, I study Bava Kama, I learn Chulin or Sanhedrin, that's how I discover Hashem. It seems like a lot of, nitty-gritty details of the oral tradition. But a person who immerses himself in Torah develops a kesher with Hashem. That's just how it works. So v'anochi lo yadati, I didn't realize to what a degree the Torah plays that role. Okay? All right, we'll skip the next little paragraph. I will continue. Oh, yay, Amar, but yeah.
I once heard that it could kind of be read the other way.
Let's hear it.
Yaakov was saying, I didn't know Hashem was here, in this field, that Hashem also exists, in the
right.
World.
Right, that even when, Anochi lo yadati, even when I'm not learning Torah, I didn't realize that sleep could also be a holy experience. Right. And there's other ways to encounter Hashem. Yeah, that's also true. Okay. Oh, yay, Amer, Vayikat Yaakov Mishnaso, Vayomer Achen Yesh Hashem Vakom Hazeh, Vanochi Lo Yadati. Perish Rashi, Sheim Yadati Lo Yashanti. Had I known, I wouldn't have slept. Again, in a similar fashion, he starts off. Al Derech HaNizkar Le'al, like we explained above, Sha'agolus Nimshol Lechalom. Golus is a dream. Kamosha Kosov Hayinu Kecholvim. However, the more and more I like think about it, and the more and more I talk to people about different struggles and different things, so much of what goes wrong in life is just dimyonot. You know what the word dimyon means? Imagination. Imagining something is going to be something that it's not. Whatever it is, in every tchum of life, there's so much Torah about dimyonot. It's mamish the whole inyan of Chanukah. Look, the word dimyon. It's dalet mem, and it's yud vav nun. Yud vav nun is Yavan. And what's going to overpower Yavan? Dalet mem. Those are the 44 candles of Chanukah. Right? 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You'll say, that's 36 candles. Ah, but you need a shamash. So you need 8 more lights. So we light 44 candles on Chanukah. Yavan is the world of dimyon. So much of where we get lost in the dark is because we have these dimyonos of things. Mamish dimyonos. All these imaginary ideas of what's going to make us happy and how things are supposed to be. It's all dimyonos. Mamish dimyonos. It's really an unbelievable thing. And that's this pasuk. Hayinu kecholvim. When Mashiach comes, we're going to be like, wow, we did not get anything. We were way off, like on a lot of things. We thought we understood this concept or that concept. Mashiach is going to bring such a clarity to our life. We're going to not even understand how we could be so off. But Hayinu kecholvim, it's like a dream. It feels very real when you're sleeping. And then you wake up, you're like, whoa, that wasn't real. Dimyon. Chalomos. Galus is nimshel lachalom. All of Galus is one big strange dream. Va'inyin hu kamo b'shas ha'sheina adam roa b'chalom dvarim. Hamidumim sheim sheker. In a dream, a person sees things, right, which feel very real to him, but in truth are nothing other than imagination and lies. Ki'inyin chalom hu davar hamiduma ve'inu emes. Because a dream is, again, a person thinking they're experiencing something which is real when it's not. And that's what all of Galus is. Right now we're dreaming. Our eyes are open. We think we're awake. But we have certain ideas in our head which are dimyonos, which are chalomos. And not healthy aspiration dreams. I told you, I'm going to speak about that tonight in Mirtz Hashem, in this year. That there's a way to have healthy dreams. That's part of what Chodesh Kislev is about. To dream big in a positive way. But so many of the temptations of life are just stupid, silly dimyonos and chalomos of things that cannot be true. Kachu inyan ha-galus v'chlal doma l'shein of a chalom. So all of galus is a dream. The people in the world who think they're in charge of the world, they're dreaming. Hashem runs the world. Shubilti yodea mahu inyan ha-emes v'atachles amiti. That we live our life, again, olam hazeh is compared to a chalom is compared to darkness. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, I think it's Daf Pei Gimel, says that Olam Hazeh is compared to Laila. This whole world is one big dark experience. Chanukah is those moments where we have those breakthrough, where that little bit of light, I finally have a little bit of clarity in my life. But most of life is confusing and leading us away from the emes. It's all sorts of deception and lies, misrepresentation. Everyone has their version of the truth, right? Some people talk nowadays, my truth, as if there's no objective truth. Until Geula comes, and then Hashem says, actually, there is an objective truth. My truth is the real truth. The emes lamito. The chenu beprat itzel kol adam v'adam. And the same thing is experienced, not only again on the world at large, but within each person. Besod karva el nafshi ge'ala. Personal redemption takes place when a person lives a life of what? Of emes. Kedimyon hachalom. Kasher hu chas v'shalom. Mutva b'sheker. Hu begalas shedom l'shein v'chalom. When you're living a lie, I mean, your whole life is a lie. I mean, if there's a part of your life that's a lie right now, yeah, there's a part of the way that you're living or thinking or acting that's not true to reality, but you've created it to be your reality. So that is a state of galus, and that is a state of chalomos. That is a state of being asleep, of not being alert to the truth. So when a person purifies his mind and gets out of those irrational dreams, when I start to filter everything through the lens of God and God alone, so now I enter into what? Into that realm called truth. So then I have connection to Hashem. Then I get out of the world of tov and ra. Then I get out of the world of bilbulim and confusion. Then I have that clarity. Right? The Shemen Zayis Zach, the pure, beautiful oil of Hanukkah. And then guess what happens? Tzaddikim, when they have dreams, they're very real. When a tzaddik has a dream, it's a very real thing. Tzaddikim, that Rizal talks about what he would learn in a dream. That Rizal, I think, said to Rav Chaim Vital, what I learned in my sleep would take me 70 years of teaching you to give over to you. You know? In one, power nap on the couch. That's how many giluyim the Arizal had, because it's an ishemes. So by tzaddikim, the chalomos are revealing a deeper truth. That's what the footnote here quotes the Orchos Tzaddikim and the Shar HaEmes. That's how it works by tzaddikim. Right? When your machshavos are pure, your chalomos can become pure and true. V'chol masherowa hu emes. V'chol shu emes roa. Whatever he sees is true, and whatever is true, he sees. It's a nice line. V'hu machmas sheyatzim in a galasim in a sheker, because he's detached himself from that alma de shikra. He's living a gu'ula dika existence. Rakol pulos of heim lamitasan. The things he does make sense. His life is consistent and not a lie. V'zei yesh lomar. So that's what our pasuk says. V'yikat Yaakov mishnaso. Yaakov woke up from his sleep. Chaver, what is Yaakov? Titein, emes, v'Yaakov. Hainu, k'shehashem yizbarach ozer lo, shehekitz min hashen av hasheker. When a person with Hashem's help is able to say, I don't want to be asleep anymore. V'zochel madregas emes, and he comes to the level of Yaakov, which is truth. Titein emes l'Yaakov. Then what does he say? Ah, v'yomer achen yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. Now he's zocha to what? The true connection to Hashem. Aspaklaria dinahara. He sees things the way Hashem sees things. The name of Hashem, that essential name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, representing Haya Hove Viyya. He has the full perspective of past, present, and future. The tzaddikim understand things in context, in the true context. Va'anochi lo yadati mizeh. And a person says, wow, I didn't realize my whole life was a big dream. I didn't realize what a sheker it was until I tasted emes. And then I said, then I looked back and I said, wow, what a sheker. What a dimyon. Mamish dimyonos, you know? When I thought in high school, I was like, maybe I could be the first frum guy to make it to the NBA. Right? Maybe. Could be. Then you look back, you're like, did I really think that in high school? Is that possible that I actually thought that? You know? And plug in whatever variation of our, you know, different periods of our life. Or right now. Things that you're going to look back on and laugh at in a few years from now. Like, that was a goal of mine. Hayinu kecholmim. What was I talking about? What on earth was I thinking? Hayinu sheyesh madrega gadola emes kazeh. When I have that clarity, all of a sudden I say, what? Anochi lo yadati. I never knew I could think like this. I never knew I could feel like this. I never knew I could live like this. And then what did Rashi say? When Yaakov woke up, Rashi said, what? Shim yadati lo yashanti. Had I known, I wouldn't have slept. In other words, had I discovered this truth sooner, I wouldn't have whittled away, you know, my life, right, in Golis. I allowed myself to sleep away years. Peirashim ayisi odea kvar bizeh madrega. Had I tasted this truth sooner, lo yashanti. Hainu me'olam lo hayisi nofel klal lebechina shein of a sheker klal. Chaval that the Nachash tricked us into this mess. My whole life is trying to figure out what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong, what's light and what's darkness. It's all this big, crazy erbuvia. Everything blended together. And when I finally break through and taste the truth, I say, wow, I literally wasted years of my life pursuing something that wasn't true, that was utterly irrelevant. Yeah?
What is Yaakov's dream?
What is he thinking? I don't know. Does it matter? I mean, what's Yaakov, the person's breakthrough? I don't know. I'm not sure what Yaakov's breakthrough was. Maybe Yaakov's breakthrough was, here I was, sitting and learning Torah in the tents of Torah day and night, and now I'm going to Lavan's house, which seems to be far away from holiness, but it's Dafka there. I'm going to build Klal Yisrael. I'm going to find a wife. I'm going to find children. Wow. Isn't that the purpose of my life? Instead of just sitting and learning all the time? To build the world? To build a family? A Jewish family? I don't know. I'm not sure what Yaakov's breakthrough was. You know? Not sure. Not sure what his big realization was. But the idea of Yaakov is that we all have certain dreams that we're dreaming. And when we finally wake up and taste the truth, all of a sudden we say, wow, chaval anochi lo yadati. Chaval, I never knew this before. I could have saved myself a lot of time. Could have saved myself many, many hours of whatever. Wasted existence pursuing silliness. Sometimes it's a silliness that you never catch up to and you realize, wow, there is no catching up to it. So that was a waste of time and effort and energy and money. Right? And sometimes you catch up to it finally. You're like, ah! And you're still not happy. He's like, great. Okay, so that wasn't it. I guess that wasn't it. So if you're smart, you make a proper pivot to the tzaddikim like we learned last week, and you say, what's going on? And the tzaddik gives you etza, how to become, truthful. Or when that craving didn't satisfy, so you move on to your next craving, thinking that one will satisfy. But eventually, everyone wakes up. That's the point. Eventually, geula has to come, and hayinu kachomim. You wake up, you say, wow, that's crazy that I didn't get it. For so long, I thought that was true. It's just a weird and crazy dream. Yeah.
I don't know if I have the numbers right.
Let's hear. Anochi lo yadati is gematria Torah. Yeah? Let's see. I'm getting one more than Torah. Is that possible? We can make a count, yeah. Anochi lo yadati, I didn't know Torah. Let me see. I got 612 also. So Torah is 611. Okay. Very nice. So v'anochi lo yadati. V'anochi lo yadati. Torah with the kolo. I didn't know. I didn't know Torah. When I experienced Torah, I realized, this is what I was searching for all this time. And Torah gives you the emes. Torat emet. Yeah, very nice. Beautiful. Ve'anochi? Yeah. 87, 31, and 494. 87, 31, 494. Someone do the math and 612. Good. Okay, Weiter. Excellent, Shoval. Okay, let's look at the next piece. Im Yalo Kimimadi. This one's very nice. I mean, the last one I think is the centerpiece for this week. Waking up from the falsehood of our life. Okay, let's go on to the next piece. Im Yalo Kimimadi Ushmarani Bederach Hazeh. So Yaakov Davin to Hashem Hashem. If you'll be with me on my journey, Asher Anochi Holech, right? Now that I'm walking the path of Anochi. V'nasen li lechem leechol u'beged lilbosh. Can I ask a simple question on this pasuk? If God will grant me bread to eat and clothing to wear, then I'll be a good Jew. That's Yaakov's tefillah. He wakes up, Hashem, I need your help. If you bring me back to my father's house in peace, in harmony, prosperity, then I'll donate tzedakah, the pasuk says. Kol asher titen li aser asrenu lach. Whatever you give me, I'll. If you help me to prosper in Beis Lavan and I make a lot of money, I'll give a lot of tzedakah. What's funny about this pasuk? If you give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, as opposed to bread to wear and clothing to eat. What else do you? Why does he have to say lechem leechol ubeged lilbosh? We know what you do with lechem, you eat it. We know what you do with beged, you wear it. Hine rabim tamu. Many mefarshim raise the question. Look in the Kli Yakar, for example. Al inyan lechol velilbosh. What do you need to say? Clothing to wear and food to eat. Bavada yedua mizesh lechem ochlim ubeged malbishim. We know what bread does, and we know what clothing does. But there's an unbelievable hint that's alluded to here. As I saw in the teachings of Rabbi Pinchas. I'm not sure who Rabbi Pinchas is. I'm not sure who he's referring to. Maybe Rabbi Pinchas Koritzer, although I don't know. Al v'hamelech David Zakein ba bayamim v'yichasuhu babegadim v'lo yecham lo. It says at the beginning of Malachim Aleph, Mamish, the very beginning, it says that King David was covered in clothing, but he couldn't be warmed up. His body was not responding to the clothing. Chazal say, because he cut the corner off of Shaul's garment. So, you know, Mida Keneged Mida, you don't treat clothing with respect, clothing won't warm you. But it's a strange thing. David can't seem to warm up from the clothing. What's the pshat? Shu Remez, what it's alluding to is the following. Ki Adua, we know from the Zohar, should David hu Torah Sheba'al Peh. That David HaMelech corresponds to Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay? Just very quickly, how do we know that? Where'd that blue marker go? How do we know it? I'll tell you how we know it. We know it like this. Yeah? Oh. Never on the board, so it came like this. Okay? So very quickly, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. Okay, help me out. Who's who?
Abraham, Yitzchak.
Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Tzvayvet, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. Okay, so David is Malchus. Okay, we're getting close. Let's go body parts now. Chesed.
Arm, right arm.
Right arm. Gvura. Left arm. Tiferes.
Torso.
Netzach and Hod. Right and left leg. Typically we say right and then left, but they're somewhat interchangeable. Okay, Yosef. Bris Mila. Malchus? Peh. Malchus is Peh. So David, which is Malchus, is Peh. Which is Torah Sheba'al Peh. So David is Torah Sheba'al Peh. David is Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay. So David is there's much more to say about that, obviously, but David is Torah Sheba'al Peh. We'll trust the Degamach and Ephraim. David is Malchus. Malchus is Torah Sheba'al Peh. Malchus corresponds to the body part of the peh, gevaldik. And therefore what? Why can't David warm up from the clothing? Why can't David warm up from the begadim? So on a very deep level, what it means is the following. U'kishayin ba'hizchadshus ha-Torah b'chol yom u'b'chol eis, rak sha'oseg b'dvarim yeshanim. Chavir, this is mamish Chanukah Torah. So try to realize that it's Chanukah Torah. The whole victory over Yavon is the victory of what? Of light over darkness, of or over Choshech, but it's also a victory over what? It's a victory over oldness. The Torah is the freshest. So you look sometimes to the Avanim, we have new ideas. Torah is old, we're done with Torah. We don't need the Torah ideas. We're moving past that. We have better philosophies. Torah is the oldest ideas, but it's also the newest ideas. That's what's so gevaldik about Torah. It's past, present, and future. Again, it's Haya, Hove, and Yia, all rolled into one. That's why Svasema says, Haya plus Hove plus Yiyah is Gematria Yavan. Because Yavan thinks they can move past Torah. We don't need Torah anymore. We've progressed past Torah. Our man-made philosophies and accomplishments, we don't need Torah. Right? Torah is the dark ages. Our new philosophies are going to bring you into the light. No. Kiner mitzvah v'Torah. So therefore, when it comes to Torah, we emphasize, especially in Torah Shebaal Peh, because Torah Shebechsav is a sealed book, but Torah Shebaal Peh is an unfolding process. You learn a Tosos in Avodah Zarah, Dav Zayin, and Aleph. You learn Shitas HaRavid, quoted by the Ran, on the Rif, as we started yesterday. And all of a sudden, you have a question. You just added to Torah Shebaal Peh. You ask on the Ravid, you answer, you question. You're adding to Torah Shebaal Peh. Every second, Torah Shebaal Peh is in a state of Ischadshus. Rav Moshe Wolfson says the gematria of the word Choshech is 328. It's the same gematria as the word Chidush. Because that's the battle. It's Chidush versus Choshech. It's renewal versus darkness, where everything looks the same. So therefore, there's a danger that when a person learns Torah, Torah can become very stale. It seems like old ideas. It's so alive. It's a Torah's Chaim. It's so fresh. It's so new. Vayu hadvar me'ela asher anochi mitzavecha hayom. What does Rashi say? Hayom shebechol yom yu beinecha kichadashim. Every day it should be new. It shouldn't be what? Rashi says, a diyotkema yeshana. Diyotkema? What kind of word is diyotkema? That sounds like a Greek word. It is. Dogma. It shouldn't just be, oh, this is what we do. Nah, Torah's alive. It's much more fresh than that. Don't fall into a Greek attitude of Torah. Right, the Torah is old-fashioned, that we can progress past Torah. Torah is the most progressive thing in the world. Rosh Raga Feivel Mendelovich, when he was building Torah Vadas, here, our Rebbe, Gedal Yeshur, yeah, one of the first students of Rosh Raga Feivel. So Rosh Raga Feivel was trying to recruit people to send their kids to yeshiva. And people said to Rosh Raga Feivel, no offense, but you're old-fashioned. You're not with the times, you know? You're not a 20th century thinker, they said to him. So he said, you're right. I'm a 21st century thinker. Torah's the way of the future. And he's right. Of course he's right. It's the only thing that's it's constant, it's grounded, it's sulam mutzav arza, roshama giyah shamayim, with an endless capacity for growth, for chiddush in Torah. So therefore, God forbid, kishe'ein ba ischadshus haTorah b'chol yom u'b'chol eis. When you read the Gemara, and you're not like Rav Soloveitchik, who says the Rambam is sitting learning with you, but you think, no, the Rambam, no, that's some guy who lived like hundreds of years ago. What do you mean? The Rambam is more alive than us. Tzadikim afilu b'misasam kriyan chayim. A tzadik, when he's no longer alive, is more alive. Even in his death, he's alive. Many of us, I wonder sometimes if we're even alive, you know? We're half asleep. The Rambam is alive and well. All around the world, the Rambam is alive. Rav Soloveitchik would describe that experience of sitting with the Rambam, learning with the Rambam. The Rambam walks into the room, and the Ravid walks into the room. Rabbeinu Tam walks into the room. Right? And Rashi tries to tell his grandson, you know, behave yourself. Don't argue on my opinion. It was so alive. So when a person's Torah is alive, b'chol eis, a person's living with chadashim, it's a different thing. But when, God forbid, a person is living with yeshanim, yeah. When you're reading a Mishnah from 1600 years ago, and you're saying, yeah, this feels like it's 1600 years old, as opposed to the bronze highlights from last night, which are mamish fresh. Afal pi shebechol pam malbish osam advarim belevushim acher, pamim begemara, o pamim hu malbish osam begemara acheres, upasak acher. If a person learns Torah in a way that's old, so it could be this Gemara, it could be that Gemara. It could be a new Gemara, it could be a new Sugya. But it's all old to you. It could be a new idea. It could be a new Pasuk you never thought about before. But if you learn it in an old way, it's just all equally old. And then you know what happens? Vayichasu babgadim. You could put on the different levushim of Torah. You could be wearing Yevamis or Ksubis. You could be wearing Bava Kama or Bava Metziah. And the bottom line is, Im kol zeh lo yecham lo. None of them will warm you up. Because it's just all old ideas. It's old, stale, crusty ideas. Haynu she'ein lo eslavus mizeh. For you, it's not on fire. Kevin she'tocham dvarim yeshanim heim. Af al pi she'alavush mishtana. Because the bottom line is, it's all old clothing. It's like inheriting, like, you know, this massive collection of old clothing. So like none of it's, right? Someone says to you, do you want a ton of, like, you know, free designer clothing? Yeah. But then you see, oh, it's like it's totally out of style. So I don't matter. It doesn't matter how much of it I have. It's all old. I can keep changing the garment. I'm never going to feel good about it because it's just it's outdated. It's not relevant. You know, once upon a time it would have been the wow. It would have been a treasure. But now, what's it worth? So the main thing is that what? That my Torah experience has to be fresh, alive, new like the day itself. Like Chazal say, again, the Medrash I reference from Rashi. The Medrash says, "B'chol yom yu be'inecha kechadashim." That every day it should be mamish fresh in your eyes and totally new. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu Olav HaShalom. Yaakov Avinu, who we've said many times, is Torah. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Torah Avod Gemilas Chasadim. Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Avoda, Yaakov is Torah. So what does Yaakov say? Im Yihyeh Elokim Imadi, Ushmar Hashem, I'm going on a journey to Beis Lavan. If you'll watch over me and protect me on the road, what road? Hainu Be'inyan HaTorah HaNikra Derech. If you watch over me when I'm on the Derech. Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Kedushin, Dav Beis Amad Beis. References Derech as a reference to Torah. Torah is a path to be traveled. It's a road to be traveled. It's the directions for traveling the road of life. So Hashem, if you'll help me in my Torah, Asher Anochi Holech Aleh, Yaakov Inu, the embodiment of Torah, Anochi, as we've said, who sowed Kol HaTorah Kula, I'm trying to live a life of Anochi, in other words, a life that's completely encompassed by Torah, and Hashem, Nasan Li Lechem Lechol, if you give me bread to eat, what was the question we started with? Why does Yaakov need to say, give me bread to eat? What else do you do with bread? What does it mean, bread to eat? Hainu shiyu be'enai kachadashim tamid, lechadish b'chol yom dvarim chadashim. Bread to eat means what? If you'll give me an experience that's always fresh and new. How is that hinted to in those words? V'yeh li taivav islavis mizeh, kamo ish haroiv lecho lechem. If you'll give me the bread, the type of person who wants to eat, right? Everybody needs to eat, but sometimes you really want to eat. Sometimes you're in the mood to eat. Sometimes you sit down, you're really hungry, and you're able to buy yourself a nice meal, right? And you're excited to eat. It's not, you know, I have to eat because I need to have food in my body. But where the eating itself is a chavaya, it's an experience. You're excited to taste the rich and exotic flavors of whatever dish you're eating. Yeah? So when a person has a slava, so Yaakov says, Hashem, if you'll give me what? If you'll watch over me in the path of Torah, at the same way that a person who enjoys a good meal, and you see their mamish, you know, you see how they're eating, they're like really like immersing themselves in that sandwich. You know what I'm saying? Like they've got that look on their face that if you were like videotaping them, they'd probably be mortified how into their sandwich they are, but they're like really, they're feeling it. V'rotzim ha'od l'achayos es nafsho. Right, and they're smacking their lips and they're closing their eyes, mamish, you know, like a dveikus over the sandwich. It's not like, you know, it's not the Baal Tanya's dveikus over the sandwich. It's just like, this is a very tasty sandwich. And they're really enjoying the experience. Or beged lilbosh, like a person who's really into clothing and is always checking themselves out in the mirror, you know, and they're fixing their hair, they're checking out their muscles, and they're making sure that, you know, everything's just right. Yaakov says, if you make my Torah experience like that, if I have the latest styles of clothing, so to speak, the same way that a person who's into that is always, you know, keeping up and staying current, chiddush, you know, I need to have the funky new glasses before my chavrusa does, because I want to look cool. So Yaakov says, if you give me that experience of Torah being so alive and fresh with a cheshek and a tshuka and a slavus, right? So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that would be the biggest gift in the world. I'll give you whatever I can give you to pay you back for that. I'm going to base Lavan. I know that my Torah values are going to be challenged there. I know that Lavan's going to try to suck the chiyus out of me, that excitement for Torah that I've worked on for so many years. Right? But Hashem, please protect me. Make sure that I'm still inspired and steiging in Torah the way that I was when I was still at home. Okay, we'll do one final piece for today. Just a nice little Torah just to see. Actually, can we do two more? Can I do two more? Let me do two more. They're short. They're both short. I'll do them quickly. Vatomer asaf elokim escher pasi. Jump ahead like four or five pieces. A simple question. Vatomer asaf Elokim escherpasi. Hashem has gathered in my shame. Rachel was all embarrassed. She doesn't have any children. Finally, she's blessed with a child. Yosef. Ah, Baruch Hashem. And she says, God has asaf Elokim escherpasi. Hashem has what? Hashem has gathered in, so to speak, my cherpa, my shame, my embarrassment. I'm so happy that finally I have a place, right? I'm so happy. Thank you, Hashem. You took away my disgrace. You took away my shame and embarrassment. Vatikrashamo Yosef. So she calls him Yosef. Leimor Yosef Hashem li ben acher. Hashem should grant me another son. Baruch Hashem, I have a son. I want another son. Simple question. Tzarech lahavin zeh. B'tchila, first she says, Asaf Elokim. Hashem has what? Hashem has, so to speak, taken away my disgrace. Asaf, together. Hashem has taken away my cherpa, my embarrassment. And then she says, what? She calls him Yosef because she wants another son. So I don't understand. Says the Degamach and Ephraim, why is she calling Yosef? Why doesn't she call him Asaf? Why doesn't she call him Asaf? Why does she call him Yosef? Umaduan Nishtana Khan, we bishar shemos. Usually it says, Hashem has treated me a certain way, and I called my child this way. So Vatomer Danani, Vatikra Shemo Dan. Vachain Kulam. Why over here does she say, she says, you know, Hashem is Asaf Cherpasi, and then she calls him Yosef because she wants another son. Well, what's going on? Why not call him Asaf? And why give like a parish before and a parish after for his name? Why'd she choose Yosef over Asaf? So he just has a very creative answer. He says, Yesh lefarish shel fi ani az daiti kach. He answers as follows. Yinehi ha'isa tzricha liten hodal l'sha'avar. Sha'ashem yisbarach lo azav osa berachamav. V'nasan laben. She wants to say thank you for the past. To acknowledge that what? I was in a lot of pain. And Hashem, you took away my disgrace. You took away my pain. At the same time, not only does she want to thank Hashem for the past, she wants to what? Petition Hashem for the future. The gamay sarotalis pal al ha'asid. She wants to ask to Yosef la Hashem od ben, that Hashem should increase her progeny and bless her with another child. So how is she going to do that? Should she call him Asaf? Should she call him Yosef? The answer is, either one would kind of work. But here's what she did. Yadua, we know that the letter Aleph is made up of two yuds and a vav. Aleph itself is made up of other letters, of yud and vav. Yadua Aleph hu yud vav, sha Aleph nichteves yud vav yud. Right? The Aleph is made up of a yud and a vav and a yud. Kaze. Shehu mispar yud vav. Right? It's made up of yud and vav. Okay? V'kachu shira pasuk, and therefore this is how to understand the pasuk. V'tomer asaf Elokim escher pasi. Thank you, Hashem, on the past for taking away my disgrace. I'm giving you hakaras hatov for what you've done. V'nasna hoda lisha avar. Thank you for the past. Ach v'tikra shemo Yosef. But she called her son Yosef. Why? Leimor Yosef Hashem li ben acher. She said, I want to thank you for the past, but I want to also now take that aleph, so to speak, break it into a yud and a vav, and turn my thanks for the past into also a tefillah for the future. So therefore, she took the aleph, and she broke it down into its components, and she called him Yosef. Because in the name Yosef Hashem, it's a combination of the two. Tefillah kapshuto Yosef Hashem. She's asking, Hashem, please increase again my children. But the Yud Vav, which is a combination that makes an Aleph, is also thanking Hashem for the past. Now, I guess the question a little bit still remains, because you could have called him Asaf, and we would have said, an Aleph is a combination of a Yud and a Vav. So, included in the name Asaf is the, you know, is the Yud and Vav, hoping for the future. But I guess, at the point she was at, it made more sense to call him Yosef, thinking about the future, but to make sure that Hashem understood, I chose Yud and Vav, because it's also really a combination of asaf. It's also a thank you. I'm not just, it would be chutzpah for me to ask for more before I say thank you for what you gave me. But that's actually how we're supposed to thank Hashem. Thank you for the past, and Hashem, I hope that this blessing continues in the future. That's how Leah taught us to thank Hashem. And she was the one who, the Gemara says, really was Mechadish, how to thank Hashem. Yeah.
So we know that
Yeah, it could be both.
We say the same thing
about Rachel and Leah and their barrenness. I'm not sure about Rachel's barrenness. I'm not sure. Right. Very nice. Very nice. Very, very nice. Very, very nice. The letter hey, right, the letter hey. Right, the letter hey is very often found in female names. It's very important. A pipnimius that a Jewish woman's name should have a letter hey in it. Right? She has multiple names, at least one of her names should have a hey in it. That's why you see that Sarah eventually, right, Sarai became Sarah and had children. Rivka eventually had children. Leah has a hay and has children. Rachel doesn't have a hay. Rachel doesn't have a hay. So that's why she needs Bilhah, who has two hays, one for herself and one for Rachel, to be her maidservant. Right? So Bilhah has two hays. Zilpah only needs one hay. But Bilhah, who's working with Rachel, who doesn't have a hay, has to have a double hay. But that's part of the chiddush. In a certain sense, it's the biggest chiddush for Rachel to conceive. But the name Yosef, beautiful. Yosef is what? Is the Yud and the Vav of Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. So Yud is Mashpia into Hey and Vav into Hey. So this is, in a certain sense, Yud and Vav is really the ultimate letters of hoping to become impregnated and to be blessed with children. Beautiful. Beautiful Vart. Okay, and last but not next piece, when Yaakov finally gets to Laban's house, which we haven't spoken about much this morning, and he's busy trying to work things out with Lavan's sheep. So Yaakov has, I mean, it's such a strange section of the Torah. It's the deepest, deepest secrets of Kabbalah. In the writings of the Arizal, all the different sheep of Yaakov, the ringed ones and the speckled ones and the spotted ones, that whole Inyan, this whole Inyan of the different colored sheep and different types of sheep, it's all, if you look in Kisrei Arizal, it represents all of creation. These very unusual Psukim of Akudim, Nikudim, Tuluim, the whole thing is being Barames to literally creation of the world. But the Pasuk says, it's in Pasuk Membeis, Perek Lam and Pasuk Membeis, Uvahatif Hatson lo Yasim, Vahayu Ahatufim lo Lavan, Vakshurim lo Yaakov. The Pasuk says, when the sheep were late bearing, he would not emplace. Thus, the late-bearing ones went to Lavan, and the early-bearing ones to Yaakov. In other words, the healthier ones ended up going to Yaakov, and the less healthy ones ended up going to Lavan. But it refers to them as Atufim and Kishurim. Atufim and Kishurim. Our school here is translating it as late-bearing and early-bearing. The ones who gave birth earlier went to Yaakov, Kishurim, right? And the late-bearing ones are called Atufim. It has to do with the way they actually prepared the animals to mate. But what does it mean on a deeper level? Atufim l'lavan kshurim l'yakov. You can probably figure it out on your own. Yesh l'farish b'zeh b'derech remes. Yaakov chevel nachalaso. Yaakov is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's portion. Hainu, Yaakov is like a chevel. Mamish like a chevel. A chevel means a rope. Chevel shu kashur me'ayla l'tata. Like a rope that's tied above. In other words, Yaakov Avinu was always roped into Hashem. He always had a kesher. Kachu kasher b'shorash nishmaso ad ein sof baruch hu. He was tied at the essence of his soul to God. V'haino al yidei zichu chamochin shalo b'li shum p'niya u'levush u'machshav o'zaros. He was always tied into Hashem. He didn't deviate, neither in his presentation of self, in his actions, in his thoughts. Rather, he was one with Hashem. Rakahadein kamtza. One of my favorite concepts. The Zohar says that what does it mean to be davuk to Hashem? Kahadein kamtza delevushe minei ubei. It's like a snail, or maybe a turtle, where levushe minei ubei, where its clothing is part of it. Or as one of my Rebbeim and friends, Rabbi Shmuel Brun, likes to say, in the name of one of his friends, I think, that what's gavaldic about a turtle is that wherever it is, it's always home. That's a very deep idea. It's a very deep idea in the Zohar, and the Tanya makes reference to this concept. It's an amazing idea that the Levush is part of it. Right? That its shell which on the one hand is external to it, but it's also it. The levushe mineu be. It's one with its clothing. Val derech ze isa bazar kadosh on the pasuk vayatzev Yaakov as hamaklos asher pitzal brahatim b'shikasos hamayim. The pasuk describes again this strange process by where Yaakov is peeling these rods and he's placing the rods in the water, and the flocks are becoming aroused and producing children based on this whole strange thing. The Zohar says, oh, you know what's happening when Yaakov is peeling those strips? And he's laying those stripes in the trough? You know what's happening there? You also lay stripes every day. It's called tefillin. The Zohar says, da raza de tefillin. This is the secret of tefillin. The maklos, right? The maklos, these rods, represents dina kasha. It represents harsh judgment. All these deep ideas, all very deep things happening with Yaakov. V'yaches ha'ason b'makel, that Bilam is hitting his donkey with a makel. Da raza de dina kasha rachman al-tzan. This refers to harsh judgment, God forbid. But the bottom line is, putting aside all the very deep things that none of us really have a clue what he's talking about, the bottom line is that even when Yaakov was busy being metapel with a bunch of sheep, he was mamish wearing tefillin. He was detaching himself to Hashem. He was always tied to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Like the pasuk says, again, he's taking this machsof halavan, these white streaks from this poplar tree. Right? It represents a certain whiteness. What does a whiteness mean? I don't know what it means, but he's living in the house of a person whose name is Lavan, which means white. But all the Svarim tell us the white of Lavan is the most deceptive white in the world. As one of the students of the Ramchal writes, Rav Moshe David Vali writes in his Sefer, the white of Lavan is redder than the darkest red. He presents himself as white, very righteous. He's mamis, a charlatan, a thief. Yaakov is be'emes, osek in what? In this machsof halavan. He's peeling these white rods and placing it in the water, saying that even in the house of someone who's the fakest of the fake, I'm still mekusher to Hashem. Even as I'm involved in what? The shlepi avoda of what? Of taking care of these sheep. In the sun, in the cold, as he eventually tells Lavan later on, when he puts Lavan in his place. Yeah, what do you want to say? Okay.
Lavan is your deepest
red. Yeah.
Why does he run away from Esav to go to Lavan? It's a lot of Lavan rex.
Good question. And next?
Isn't also a snake always in his lavush? Isn't a snake also always in his lavush?
A snake is always in his lavush. What do you mean?
Sheds
his skin.
Yeah.
Okay. Could be something to think about that. I mean, we all are in our levush, right? Meaning our neshama is in our guf, which is our... But the point is that my guf doesn't have to be a disconnect from my neshama being mekusher to Hashem. I think that's part of the idea that's being expressed by this idea that the kamsa levushe mine ube. But yeah, we got to think about that, yeah?
Well, you could say that, like, the turtle, the tortoise never sheds shell.
Right, it's always... Right, the snake is always trying to get away from its home, get away from itself, right? As opposed to those animals that cling to the shell. They want to be connected. Yeah, Mordechai, what do you say? You say? No, you don't say. Okay. So just very, very quickly. So Lavan is the fakest of the white. Yaakov is living in this home, and he's maintaining his connection to the true white, to the true... Bechinas Chesed, whatever that means. But again, he's fighting against this negativity and maintaining his kesher to Hashem. Okay, good. V'zeu v'hayu ha'atufim le'lavan v'akshurim le'yakov. What does atuf mean? Right? L'esateif b'tzitzit. Atuf means garments. Garments, levushim, layers. Not essence. Not like the turtle where its garment is also it, but like an external layer that's put on, a mask. Some type of levush. Hatufim lelavan, hainu halevushim heim lemishu lavan. If you're going to act like Lavan, then you're going to enter into the world of what? Into the world of presenting yourself a certain way, which is not authentic. Vakshurim liyakov. But to be mekusher, to be truly tied, that's the world of Yaakov. Yaakov hayulo iskashrus b'shorish nishmaso b'li shum ituf levush. Yaakov doesn't wear masks. Titein emes liyakov, again and again. And in conclusion, he says, v'zei yish lomar. The Gemara says in Chulin that one of the things that Talmud Chacham needs to know how to do is to know how to tie the tefillin knot. You have to know how to make the kesher shel tefillin. Rashi explains, to be able to make the dalid on the back of the shel rosh, different practices how to do it, and it's an umnis gedola. You have to really know what you're doing and able to do it. So Talmud Chacham has to know how to do that. V'yesh lefaresh, what does that mean? What does it mean to know how to make the dalid, the kesher of the dalid? To be attached, but through making a dalid. So he explains, Hainu belishum pnia ulevush. Dalid means what? Dal, dala va'aniya. Dal means what? Humble, simple, authentic. Belishum ituf malbushim. So a real Talmud Chacham is not someone who wears, you know, a fancy Rebbesha hat or a long coat. A real Talmud Chacham is a person who what? Who carries himself with the humility of being truly attached to Hashem in all that he does. Hainu lakasher atzo bekesher shel tefillin. Like Yaakov Avinu, who's busy in base lavan, when he's in a place of deception, he maintains an authenticity to himself and to his Creator. And that, he says, is bevadai in umnis gedola. Not just making the physical knot on the back of the tefillin, but maintaining humility and being connected to Hashem, even when people give you kavod, or even when you're making a lot of money, like Yaakov was being very successful, again, out in the fields of lavan. Okay, so we learned a lot this morning about being authentic and being real and being emistic. So Hashem should help us as we continue to battle the choshech of Chodesh Kislev until we light those lights of truth, the light of Hanukkah. Hashem should help us to be emistic again. Yeah.